Good on all the recording devices over there. I want to share this word with you. How are you honoring God? Facebook Live, those of you that will be watching, those that may watch at a recorded time, it's important to know how you're honoring God because it'll show in the fruits in which you're moving around in this life. People will begin to see how you honor, and how you honor God is very important. Because there may be somebody that will never step foot in a church, but you have become the church itself that they will look at to say whether or not they want to continue on believing what you have to say. How you honor God is very important. So welcome to the House of Manna. For those of you that are here in the house tonight, I thank you for being here with us tonight. I know it's Fiesta night. I know the Spurs are playing tonight. But more importantly, Jesus is in the house. When two or three are gathered in his name, where is he? He is in the midst. I don't want Jesus just to walk in. I want him to stay here. And I don't want just a visitation. I want a habitation. I want him to be here every time, waiting for us at that front door, say, here comes those crazy folks that love me so much. I've been waiting on them because they love me. See, that's what I'm talking about. Now, there's another thing that I want you to understand is there's a different types of level of visitations. There's a time when God is in the midst of you because you've come together in his name, and he is in the midst. He's around. But God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But then there comes a manifestation of his presence that you know that he has stepped in the room. There's a difference. Then there's another level, which is called the kavod. The kavod is the weighty presence of God that makes change in your life. See, you're already missing this. A kavod is the very glory and presence of God that changes and alters your very body structure and internal structure, and everything in your mind begins to shift. Because it's a presence that is strong with purpose. Do you understand? And I say this for you because some people, and I've witnessed this just traveling about, I've seen that they get comfortable just being in the midst. But they haven't progressed into the other levels of his presence. Do you understand? How do you know that you're progressing into a different level of God? Is by honoring his presence. When you honor his presence, my God, there's a whole different level of display based on the way you honor him. I love my wife. I love my mom, but there's a different level of honor. There's a different level of display. You got to understand this. I can't just say I love and never display my love. I can't just talk about how I love and never show my love. Love is an action word. We have got to display and honor who we love. And when we honor who we love, we hold them in high regards and esteem them. So when I look at my wife, I say, "Ooh, Lord." The Bible says when I find a wife, I find a, say it again, baby, a good thing. The Bible says when I find a wife, not that she was lost, not that she was being prepared to be a wife. It says when I find a wife, she's already a wife. She's already been prepared by God to be receptive to being a wife. Hey, you're missing this. See, there's an honor that is there that you know that inside of her, she was already made to be a wife for me. No. See, you already missed that one. She can't be your wife. She's my wife. Made for me. But before she was my wife, she was already a wife. By the Spirit, conditioned and ready to become the wife for me. So when I found my wife, I found a good thing. What is good? The very perfected and all-encompassing power of God that is good for me. So to honor is to revere and show the greatness of the value that is within her. And when you do so, my God, she just look over at me and I just know she loves me. She look at me and I know she really looking at me like, ooh, look at that fine specimen right there. Right, baby? I say, okay, I'm just making sure. Got kind of worried there for a minute. But when there's honor, it's easier to receive. It's easier to receive in return when you honor with love. I don't have to make my wife love me. She already loves me. I don't have to make God love me. He already loves me. I don't have to make God do anything for me. He already wants to do for me. Do you understand? My job is to honor God and honor his word that it's easier to receive. There's a different level of progression in understanding his presence by the way we honor him. Do you understand? See, when I first met my wife, she was head over heels in love with me already. I knew. I could tell. And I'm telling the story. I got to repent a little bit because she hated me. She did not like me at all. She looked at me and she says, ooh, get away from me. That's what she told me. Isn't that the truth, babe? Look at her. Look. But something inside of me says if I honor her, if I honor her as a woman, I can honor her as a wife before she becomes my wife. And how I display the honor towards her will determine whether or not she's going to receive the honor from me. Oh. So the progression started with the relationship on how I honored her. Are you understanding? Just getting to know someone doesn't mean that they're automatically going to be your spouse. Like many of us today say, well, this is my husband, this is my wife, the Lord told me so. No, he didn't. Your eyes told you. Yeah, your eyes and your emotions told you. Not God. Let's be real. For those of you out there, oh, the Lord said this one right here is my Boaz. Might be broke. You better make sure it's God. You better make sure. Because what happens, we got so many folks jumping around. Lord, this is not even my message. Behave. Behave. Everybody trying to find a mate in church. But the first thing out of your mouth when something goes wrong, you ain't nothing but a hypocrite. Well, he was a hypocrite when he got in, still a hypocrite when he left, right? Then ain't been delivered yet, but you getting mad. Maybe you're the one that's supposed to bring him closer to God. But you ain't close. Lord, this ain't my message. Let me get out of this. When all we want to do is, Rabasa, Rokoboseka, I'm driving that demon out of here right now in the name of Jesus. Honor. When you honor someone, it causes them to begin to raise the level of the presence that they allow you in. If you don't honor, if you don't honor yourself, you'll always let someone take advantage of you. Y'all can see in this handout, there's nowhere in there. Lord, I'm already like, Lord. Woo. You have to start with honoring yourself as an individual, loving yourself as an individual. And knowing what to expect from somebody else, that when they don't show you honor, what will you do? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just going to stay right here. Yeah. I don't feel this spirit so strong. You want to have all this kind of funny kind of love, but you don't want to honor. You rather disrespect than to honor. Not y'all in here, because you guys are holy. You're holy. But when we don't respect and honor ourselves, we allow other people to do the same to us. And we've got to be very careful with that. We have to allow that we first have to come whole to God. What does that mean? We've got to come all the way to God and say, look, there's issues here. Help me. Help me. Don't help sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Help me. You know how we get? We come into church. That message was for sister and she wasn't here. Pastor, is it going to be on Facebook? I'll share it for her. I'll tag her name on it. You know how we do nowadays. You're like, no, that one was for you. Come whole to God so you can begin to honor yourself. When you honor yourself, it's easier for people to see that you even respect and honor and love yourself, that they have to come right, the right way to you. Amen? I'm just going to say, if they're going to come playing with all these flowers and candies and all that, and they want to be late to pick you up, no phone call. They don't even want to respond to a question that you asked that was very personal. You got a job? That's a red flag. You understand? Let's pay attention to the signs. The Bible says, signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. I believe you need to have a job, and the job's going to show me a sign that you're able to pay bills. Facebook, help me. Thumbs up, something, crying faces, something, because there's something that's going on here. If we don't honor ourselves, my God, we'll never expect anything better. Do you understand? Amen. That was enough. That was marriage 101. We'll move on to the next phase here. Get your Bibles. Please, get your Bibles. Let's get out of that. Let's get out of that. I was watching the apostles talking about, was it marriage unmasked, baby? Oh, my God. The Fosters were talking, Apostle Foster, and then we're talking about it, marriage unmasked. And I was like, Lord, some of these things are so real. We need to be real with this thing. If we could just honor ourselves and honor the Lord, my God, the world will be so different. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. We're going to read all this. Is it okay to read the Word of God in church? Okay, just making sure. Okay. It's in your handout up to verse 24. If you see there, I broke it down a little bit, kind of how my process was here. But in Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43, I'll begin reading out of the NIV, and it begins reading at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So help. I'm sorry. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what he said, what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When he came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him after he put them all out. Let me make sure it's in the word. So after he put them all out, he took the child's father, the mother, and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it's the very substance that is needed in this very hour, Lord, that your word be true, Father, that we can live it, appreciate it, and honor it, Lord. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. What I want to begin to point some things out to you, first of all, as I began to read this scripture, I find it very interesting that the little girl was 12 years old and the woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, it's one thing for the writer to write about a circumstance that the synagogue leader, which was the pastor, which is Jairus, the pastor, just think of it this way, the pastor, has a daughter that is sick and is 12 years old. Says, now, Jesus, can you come to my house and touch and lay hands on my daughter so that she may live? So the writer puts on there that on the way there, there is a commotion. There's some things going on. There's a great multitude of people that are there. And a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Do you see how the writer puts that? Well, when I begin to read the word, I understand that God puts things in his scripture for a reason. We first have to ask, and your handout shows it, what is so significant about the number 12? Jacob had 12 sons. There were 12 stones in the breastplate. How old was Jesus when he started preaching in the synagogue? 12 years old. That was during Passover. I want you to see this. He had 12 disciples. Not 10, not 11. He chose the 12. In other words, he even chose the one that would betray him. Could we choose the one that's going to betray us? Would we be like Jesus, say, you know what, I need you with me even though I know how you really are? Think about it. Mm-hmm. 12, the number 12 is his power and authority that must be honored. It must be honored. Now, I believe that if you look at this, you see that the pastor's daughter was 12 years old. This woman with the issue of blood had it for 12 years. So I want you to think about it this way, that they're at the hospital the same day. One is celebrating a birth of a precious gift that's been given by God, and this precious daughter is being born. One is cradling the promise within their arms, giving God all the glory for their precious little daughter. On the other side of the wing in the emergency room is a woman that has been beginning to bleed and doesn't quite understand what is going on with her body, what is going on with her. She begins this process of trying to have an understanding of what is taking place within her. There's a start that takes place at the same time. Are you looking at this? Well, you have two different dynamics. You have one that is celebrating and one that is fearful. And they cross paths once again as they are now coming at the crossroads. Isn't that where we all find Jesus? Is at a crossroads in our life? In a place of desperation that we come to find some help from someone that can really help us. But if we don't honor the one that we're seeking, all you're going to do is wind up touching but never getting anything in return. Oh, you've already missed. You've already missed. You see, there was people all around Jesus already. One was saying, can you come to my house and lay hands on my daughter so she will live? When the other is saying, if I could just touch his clothes. That's a whole different level of honor. That's a whole different level of faith and honor and high regards that she is holding. Because one says, if you come to my house and touch, and the other woman says, you know what, I can't by law even have you come near me. I can't get near you. I can't even come into the city. I can't even go to church. So my desperation is I have to get there and touch just your clothes. You know, see, my question to you is, how desperate are you? How desperate are you for a breakthrough? How desperate are you for your healing? How desperate are you to get out of your current circumstance and to embrace what's ahead of you that God has for you? You have to be desperate enough. The pastor, Jairus, leaves the synagogue. Watch this. To go find the one that the synagogue officials were saying not to bother. Do you understand this? Jesus, at 12 years old, was already declaring things differently, and they saw the authority. They say, in what power and what authority do you minister this? Are you understanding this? He's saying already, I understand at a young age, you carry a different level of authority that I must learn to honor. But what I love about that story is that here he is, a 12-year-old boy. You know, like many of us get when we first get saved, I'm going to start preaching. Just got saved. Jesus walks in the synagogue at 12 years old. He starts preaching. He starts reading from the scrolls. He's like, oh, my God, what manner of authority is this young boy speaking from? And it's that time when mama comes in. You know how mama does. You speaking with authority? Boy, I'm your authority right now. Come on, get back with me. You know how it is, right? When I read that, I said, that's a true apostolic right there. That's a true apostolic move of God right there. Say, oh, you think you're grown, huh? You're still in my care. It's time for you to get back over here. I don't care what kind of authority you're speaking with, but it ain't time for you yet. Come on. Do you hear that Jesus rebutted her, argued with her? You know how that kids, when they get mad, what do y'all say in Spanish, huh? Chupa los dientes. Don't be sucking your teeth like that because you ain't going to have no teeth to keep doing that. I did that to my mom one time. Mom, something wrong with your teeth? You're about to miss them. That little 5'2 mama right there told me like that. Don't you do that again. Don't you disrespect me like that. Didn't even touch me. I started crying. Why? Honor. You don't got to touch me. You ain't. I don't know. You don't got to come and lay hands on me, mama. I'm crying. Honor. How many times did I do it again, mama? None. All I had to do is look over her and I ain't going to make that noise no more. Because I honored. Honor your mother and father so you can have long life. The Bible was saying, I've given them the green light to go ahead and kill you off if you want to get stupid and sideways. That's what the Bible's saying. Hallelujah. Let me get back. Oh, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Amen. Amen. Lord. Woo! Just touch your neighbor and say, he's all right, he's all right, he's all right. Just pray for him, though. Pray for him, pray for him. Just pray for him. When you have a flashback of how your life was and how it could have been, you thank the Lord for mercy and grace. Woo. Hey, look, I'll be very transparent. I was a knucklehead and I was always testing mama. And she would have these slippers. These little slippers were made out of number foam. I know how they make it feel like it was a 2x4. Pow! You begin into honor and respect real quick. Right, Mom? You never spanked me. I was a good boy. Lord, don't strike me down. It's just Lord. Amen. Honor the authority. Honor. When you honor, right? So here we see Pastor Jerry. She's coming out. Now, there's a desperation there. Now, this 12-year-old baby girl of his is dying. Now, here's what I want you to see. Now, who wants to, okay, you're Pastor Jerry. Come up here, Pastor Jerry. Come on, Pastor Jerry. You're here. You're Pastor Jerry. Give me three more people. Quickly. Come on up. It's your time to shine. Come on. Stay right over here. You'll be over here. Hey, one more. Come on, Rose. You're here, Rose. Come on, Rose. Come up here. Come on. Pues andale, mira. You can run faster than that. Come on, get up here. Okay, now, first, because I asked for three and they want to come, so you're going to be the woman with the issue of blood, okay? Now, here's some folks here that are, no, you're the crowd. You're the crowd, okay? This is Jairus, and I'm Jesus. Okay. So, now, right now, because you're the crowd, you're just in the mix, and I'm right here, and here comes Pastor Jairus is coming to ask me to go with him because of daughter, right? The daughter sick. Now, you see the intensity, man. You're crying. You're like. So now watch it. Right. So now he's going to lead me, Jesus, back to his house. Right? Because I need to get to your house because the level of honor is to lay hands. Right. So now you're leading me like, come on, Jesus. And I go, y'all follow. Like, okay, so we're leading. And I was walking. But then this woman comes and touches the very hem. Watch this. What does Jesus do in the midst of all this? He stops the progression of where he's going and stops because there's someone else that has a higher level of honor and value of who he is that causes him to stop and turn and face the level of honor and say, wait, who touched me?
Right.
Going with the honor of coming to touch, there's faith there. Still believing that Jesus could. So he's going. But there was a whole other level that changed the direction of where God was going to make God turn around and ask a question, who touched me? Now, all the beautiful disciples that are so astute and understanding everything that is transpiring, who touched me? They respond with, everybody touching you.
Yeah, everybody's touching you.
But then when I'm reading this, you got to understand the story. He turns and he sees her and realizes power has left. Why? Because the honor and the word drew power from him because she held the value of the word and drew from him. Virtue left.
Right.
So in the woman's mind, she's like, wait a minute, I can't say that I did it because I'm not even. Stand up, beloved. Because the moment she realized that she was healed, what does the word say? She told him the whole truth. Don't miss this. Man, I'm about to kind of give you good nuggets here. If it had been a man telling the story, it would have been, I'm good, peace, I got healed, thank you. But a woman told the whole story. She probably said, well, about 12 years ago, this was on March 22nd, on the 12 years ago, I went into the emergency room, and there was some bleeding that was taking. I didn't quite understand Jesus. I didn't know what was happening. And the whole time, Pastor Jerry is like, can you speed it up? There's an issue. There's some urgency here. And this woman is telling the whole story. Can you skip and get to the Cliff Note version, please? Can you just get to the point where something transposed? And matter of fact, you weren't even supposed to even be in the midst. I know the laws. You're not even supposed to be here. Think about his position. He knew everything that she was breaking, every one of those religious laws. But wait a minute, I'm the pastor, I'm the synagogue leader, Jesus, you're supposed to be coming with me. What was the difference that made her turn around? The level of honor that she had just to touch him made him turn. She told the whole story, and I bet you Jairus probably went up to Peter right here. Peter, just pull your sword out, please. Peter, pull the sword out and just make a way from all these people to just move out the way. I got to get somewhere. You know, if there's an intensity, there's an urgency, you got to get somewhere. And there's a crowd of people all around him. And now in the midst of that, someone wants to tell a story. And I'm sure she had a lot to say because she done spent all her money. Don't even get me started with some of you women here that you're at the very end of the bills and you don't have enough money to cover the rest of the bills. Oh, you let everybody know. You get on the phone, you start texting people. Hey, you remember, we're supposed to go half on this. You didn't put your portion of the cell phone bill in. You start texting folks. You know how we get? So you know she's telling the whole story. The whole time, he's got to be waiting, thinking she's breaking every single law, religious law, that has been placed in order to keep people from being sick. So he's quiet the whole time. Then comes a messenger. Don't bother the master. Some of your scripture says don't bother the teacher because your daughter has died. This whole time, in his mind, now this is the way my mind thinks, like, you know what, just you shouldn't have been, Peter, just give me your sword real quick. Let's see if this resurrection is really true. Come on now, come on.
Right.
Because she just interrupted what was about to transpire with Jairus and the daughter. She just interrupted that and caused now his level of honor to be tested. Is your level of honor going to keep you in that place, or is your desperation going to begin to make you have more and desire more for what you just witnessed take place? Because wait a minute, now I have an understanding that when we have the honor of that word, you'll turn and face where the level of honor is. So now in his mind, like, wait a minute, if you can do this, there's something else inside. And I bet you he was like, oh, my daughter, but there's something inside of me now, because I've just been in the presence where virtue has just left, and I'm beginning to feel a little bit more virtue hit me, saying something is going to happen, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but something that I just witnessed, I am also made available to. So now there's the death of the baby. And Jesus says, oh, fret not. She's just asleep. Do they go back to the story about the woman? No. He continues on. Now watch this. Oh, this is what I love about it. What I believe that took place is when she got to the very end of her story, the new story was beginning to be written about her. That not even her name was mentioned, not even where she's living, what she's going through now. It's not mentioned anymore, but it's preached over and over and over again. Why? Because the level of honor towards God and his word stopped him in his tracks.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, woman. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, sir. Now, are you seeing that? The level of the way you honor his word, his presence, can make him turn and face your circumstance? So now this level that has come, now that he has witnessed, Now they're walking back, but this is what Jesus did. Jesus, man, he's cold, man. People think, oh, Jesus, he's so loving. Yes, he loves you enough to put you out. Read your word. There were so many people, he said, no, y'all ain't going. You three, come with me. The rest of y'all, go find someplace else to eat. Oh, don't let me get there. People would always follow him because they knew they were about to get something in return. People knew they were going to get a word. My God. Woo! They knew that, look, if they get to this place, they're going to get a word. If they get here, they're going to get something. But they weren't drawing on the power of the word of God and who he is. So he sent them away. Woo! You always want to go looking for another word? You better be careful. Better be careful. You better go to the word and get what you need. Woo-wee! So now they're going and they're walking. And then they get in there and he sees this commotion that's going on in the house. This commotion is going on. And then he says, what's all this commotion? Like he didn't know. Like God didn't know what the commotion was. He said, what's all this crying and wailing about? She ain't dead, she's asleep. And then they start laughing. Isn't it just like God to address your circumstance and your sarcasm? That can change your disposition? What's all this about? What are you crying and wailing about? States how they are. Then, he said, she's only asleep. He knew what was about to transpire. They didn't. They didn't honor who he is. What'd they do? They begin to laugh. What does the Bible say next? He put them all out. Now, the way I look at this, when I read this, even scholars have written that he drove them out. He literally put them all out. Sometimes you got to get rid of the negative folks in your life. Because all that negativity is going to create more negativity and won't allow the power to begin to move. You may have some folks that are really concerned, but the negativity has no place in the place where God is about to show up and show off. Why? Because God is saying, I know what your circumstance is, but I got to put all this negative talk out of the way. I've got to clear the room for me to work. I've got to get rid of all of this mess that is in this atmosphere because they don't honor me. I'm going to get it all out and only bring those that know how to honor me. Ooh. Lord, you can't just have anybody just next to you just because they want another miracle. A display of God's hand and talk negative about you. Mm-hmm. Talk negative about ministry. Talk negative about how you come across. You always shouting and yelling. When you're passionate, you're passionate. Why are you passionate? Because I want your soul to be fixed. I want your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions to be yielded to him. And there is an atmosphere in which people are around that won't allow a demonstration of God's true authority and power because it's a religious spirit that says it's got to be done a certain way. And then Jesus got them all out. But the three disciples, why the three disciples? Because he was teaching the sons. Teaching the sons on how to do and how to honor what was about to take place. I know I'm the resurrection and the life, But I need you to know that what I do, you can do, and greater you will do. Just honor the word, and you will see, you will not only walk on water, you will not only heal the sick, you will begin to cast out demons, you'll begin to do everything that God has afforded to you through me, because you've honored me, and sons, we're going to be getting more sons, and you're going to know what you do because of the honor towards me. I brought you into this circumstance. Woo! My. Not everybody can be with you. Not everybody can walk where you're walking, talk what you're talking about, and not everybody's going to see what you're seeing. And if they're negative, put them out. About had enough. People say, no. You can't be a prophet and an apostle. Before I'm that, I'm her husband. Before I'm that, I'm his dad. Before I'm anything, I'm her son. Let's get it straight. What I do here is because I honor first at home. Because if I don't have my house in order, what business do I have trying to get your house in order? Oh, they just shoot. I wish I had some folks to shout me down here and say an amen and a hallelujah. We've got to get some folks at the pulpit that are working on their house so they can help others get their house in order. We got to get people say, I'm working on my marriage so I can help other people in their marriages. I'm working on my finances so I can help others with their finances. Do you understand? Honor. A religious spirit will always come in to try to stop and negate your power and the demonstration for your miracle. So he drove him out. Get out the house. Jesus did it. I'm not telling you to leave. Calm down. People were starting to pack up their stuff. And, just kidding. They like the house of manna. But he drove them out. Because negativity will stop the move of God in your life. Because it's a seed. It's a seed. You ever been around someone that's fearful? They begin to put those kind of seeds and doubt in you if you hang around them too much. Then you wonder why things just don't feel right around you. It's because who you've been around. Be careful. So Jesus walks up to the daughter. I love this. Did he pray for her? Did he shanda the Honda? No. He spoke to her. Talitha Kum. Little girl, rise up. Get up. Little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. What he did is addressed. Watch this. He addressed the person, but he spoke to her spirit, get up. This is how I know, because the Bible says that the little girl started walking around the room. No direction. So then he grabs her by the hand, gives her to the parents. Feed her. Don't miss that. Feed her. I just provided a miracle for the miracle that was bestowed upon you. Feed. We can't get fed the word of God if we don't honor the word of God. You understanding this? This is a very prophetic statement here, as God is saying that I have raised the little girl. I've raised the church back up again. But it's time to feed. It's time to feed on this word with honor, respect, reverence, and know. Because I've stepped into your personal space and drove every foul spirit out to bring about resurrection. Now feed this very miracle. Whew. How do you feed a miracle? How do you feed resurrection when God already supernaturally did it? How do you do it? By honoring what he did. All through scripture, he always had a memorial for what he's done in the past. Because he knew somewhere down the line, something was about to rock you so bad that you would need a reference point to go back to and said, remember what God did back then. And what he did back then, he's going to do it again. If he did it for my ancestors, he's going to do it for you and the new lineage yet to be born. And if the devil tried to stick something in the midst of your lineage, God says, I rebuke and cancel all generational curses off of this lineage. And I bless you, and I break every curse off of you, and I release you to be honored and revered as the seed has been deposited in you, and everything that the enemy is trying to do has become nullified and void. Honor. Honor. Honor the word. Honor him. Honor his house. Honor his leaders. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastors. I know many of you that watch on Facebook, you have your own places that you go and minister to and that you just log on because it's something different. Great, amen. But you're hearing the same words being spoken by many different pastors. Pray for them. Pray for the leaders, the spiritual leaders. Pray for the leaders of the city. Pray for the leaders of this nation. And pray, beloved, for the very houses of worship that speak truth, not condemnation, but truth, and show the love of God, because they're under attack. They are under attack. If you want to make a society become hopeless, destroy hope. Pray for them. Fast for them. And when the Lord puts them in your spirit, drop what you're doing and pray. Because there's something very imminent that he wants to get across. Amen.